And so this lesson that we're going to do is called lesson number 19, preparation for a clock. So first of all, just begin, and if it's difficult for you to have your legs long, you can bend them, but I prefer if you can try it for a moment to have your legs long and just notice what your pelvis and your lower back is like, how you rest on the floor, how your shoulders rest on the floor, how your head rests on the floor. And notice now, we're going to look at it a little differently, the pelvis is how you're resting on the sides. So this is the back side, so to speak, of the pelvis. And often we talk about that backside in terms of, you might have heard the term of like SI joints. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this, you're now resting on the backside, right? So in sitting, we felt the base. Am I giving you a good spatial idea, right? We felt the base. So now we're on the backside. So just notice, especially for you, Yoshi, over here, really pay attention to how do you rest just right this moment on each of those sides of the pelvis. Do you feel like, you know, you rest heavier on one side than the other? And does one leg feel longer than the other? Or it may show up that one leg feels shorter than the other. And then also observe and notice the space behind your knees. How much space is behind your knees, or maybe lack of space? Or there might be more space behind one knee than the other. Yoshi? Right? So just notice all those places. And then go ahead and bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing, and place your feet, what I'm going to say, where your hips are. So what we want your feet is in what I call a good standing position. So for example, kind of how we explore things in sitting, if you put your feet really far away from you, so slide them really far away, but they're still standing, more, really far, so straight out away from you. Feel how much work there. Feel how much work that is, right? It's tremendous on the hip flexors and pulls on the abdomen. So bring the feet up to a place where we're looking for minimal work for the legs to be standing. And if you spread them too far apart, really wide, the knees will start to go in. And if you bring your feet really close together, feel what happens. So find, right, so here's your parameters. So you find from those parameters this place where you really feel kind of weightless of keeping the legs standing. Yes? Got that? Okay. So now with that, begin to round your pelvis like we did in sitting, as if to flatten the lower back. And I often like to think of, if you were a dog and you had a tail, if somebody came along like me and pulled the tail up towards the ceiling, your lower back flattens. And then you're going to tilt the other way. And it's a complete rolling tilting. There's no lifting, right? So you're bringing that pubic bone forward. And if you think you forgot where that is, put your hands down there and touch it. I know it's like, you know, when do we ever do this? But it's such a good landmark, is that pubic bone, to feel that when you bring it forward and down, so right, it's like coming towards the space in between your legs, feel how the lower back really arches. Enough that a mouse could go underneath your lower back. You create almost like a bridge with your chest and...
Or a small cat.
Small cat, that the bigger the arch, the better. That's it. And just continue to go back and forth. Again, looking now for a quality of smoothness, less effort. And if there's any hesitation along the movement, or is there this feeling like you come to one part and you want to like skip over it, right? Like maybe there's some uncomfortableness with one side of the pelvis, so you bypass a little section. So go slow enough that you can be attentive to look for all these possibilities for yourself. So again, you really tilt the pelvis forward and create a big arch. And then you go the other way where you flatten the back. And now as you continue to do the movement just a few more times before we take a rest, is just notice what's happening with your spine and your head. And again, this is where you'll see how everything's connected. So you're not even consciously thinking about that your head could move, but it is. So when the pubic bone comes forward, your chin pulls down into your chest. And when you start to flatten your back, your head kind of elongates.
You know, your jaw is a mirror image of your pelvis.
Yep. Flatten, there you go. And now really come the other way. Push that pubic bone forward more, more, because you do it with your lower back, but not the pelvis. So this part of your pelvis comes up. Let it come up, up. Think of arching. Let this come down more. Down. There you go. That's better. And now flatten. There. See, now you're doing the movement in the pelvis, not your lower back. There you go. It's way easier. Thank you. So keep on doing that. That's it, Pam. Let's see how you're doing, because with that neck of yours. And now really let the chin pull there, pull down more and more. There, it's okay. There. So this would be a way for you, Pam, to help your neck tremendously. And that's the other beauty of this work, is that you work what we call indirectly. You do good movement with the pelvis and the neck and the jaw freeze up. So as you do the movement just a couple more times, I'm going to give a name or directionality to this. So because we call it, the title of this lesson is Preparation for a Clock. So this is how I do it. I imagine as if on the ceiling is a clock. So I think of 12 o'clock towards my head more, and 6 o'clock towards my feet. 3 o'clock is over to the right side, and 9 o'clock is to the left. Has everybody got that clock on the ceiling? Does that make sense? Is there anybody that doesn't make sense to? Yeah? Is that good? Okay. So now this is the tricky part, how you want to think of the movement. So for me, when I'm tilting the pubic bone forward, I think that I'm sitting more down towards the tail. I think of that at 6 o'clock. And then when I flatten up towards the lower back, I think the lower back is 12 o'clock. Now, does that work for everyone? Mm-hmm. Some people flip it the other way. And if we can all be on the same clock, it'll be useful as we're going around. Yeah? Okay, great. So go ahead and pause and lengthen your legs. Just rest for a moment. And just notice already the difference you feel just from what we did. So if there was any, I don't know if I want to say the word imbalance, but I will, or you felt heavier or lighter on one side of the pelvis, has that already changed? Yay. So you see in one movement, right, just doing movement, the change occurs. It's so simple. Okay, so let's bring your legs up to that standing position again. And now this time we're going to explore 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So 3 o'clock would be to our right. So very much like in the chair, to get over to 3 o'clock, meaning bringing the right side of your pelvis more in contact, the left side lifts up. And one of the things to very much pay attention to when you do this is that, again, with the feet and the knees, is that your knees always stay orientated towards the ceiling. So you're not tilting the knees. And what this allows you to experience is differentiation in the hip joints and the pelvis. So you're moving your pelvis around the hip joint. Does that make sense? Whereas if you do it the other way, so we'll just do it the other way because it's good. So tilt your legs now down to the right. Just tilt both of them over to the right. So now that movement is about the entire pelvis moving over to the right, right? And there's no distinction between a hip joint and the pelvis because it all flops over. Now keep the legs still and just lift the left side of the pelvis. And the pelvis is moving around the hip joint, right? And if you think about it, this is what you need to do on the horse, is it not? Mm-hmm. Right? Because we don't want to be flopping our legs, right? So this position, this really calm stability position with your legs is very critical riding the horse. You don't want to be doing too much parasitic effort, but you want to be able to differentiate the pelvis from the hip joint. So you lift the left side and you feel the right side lower, and then you come back to the center. And again, some of you, I might come around and I want your feet a little bit. That's it. And let's just stay to the right. Let's just go to 3 o'clock. That's it. And what's really important too that I didn't discuss in the earlier lesson is how you return back to neutral. So everybody's kind of like the eager beaver, you know, they're paying attention. Okay, I'm going to go over to 3 o'clock, but then you kind of forget, your awareness tunes out on the return. But the return is just as important. So it's not so much this, okay? Let this sink and this lift.
Oh, I was doing the other side.
Oh.
Oops.
And then go back down and just, and then let's spread you just a little bit, just a tiny bit. There you go. That's it. And then bring it back down. So in a way, this is like the movement. Remember when we had you lift one side and move pelvis forward and back? That's excellent. Excellent, Pam. And then feel the coming back. That's it. This is key for you around these hip joints. Okay, now start to explore 9 o'clock. So that would be the left side of the pelvis comes down. You kind of get yourself back to neutral. And the right side lifts up. And I know for some of you, this is really foreign. It's like, what is she asking this pelvis to do? Right? Because we started with 12 o'clock and 6, and that was way more familiar, right? For some people, this is really foreign. So let's say you just go over to 9 o'clock and then come back to the center. And again, please take the time to observe how you return back to center, back to neutral. Notice how you're breathing, or maybe if you're not breathing. And whenever you catch yourself holding your breath, just pause so you can bring your breath back to happening. Come here. So not this way. I want you to think of lifting up. Just let this be quiet. And then come down.
You don't need any work in the legs, just lifting the pelvis and the ribs. There you go.
Shoulders look good.
Pardon me?
My shoulders.
What about your shoulders?
Okay, and pause and straighten your legs and rest. Okay, bend your knees again. Bring your feet to standing. Okay. And let's first go back to 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. That's going to feel super familiar. Okay. And now bring yourself up to 12 o'clock. So that means the lower back is flattened, right? And then how could you go from 12 o'clock over to 3? So you're going to do an arc. You're going to go 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So you're cruising along the upper part of the pelvic area in the back and coming around to 3 o'clock, which is the right side. So it means the left side's going to lift a little bit. And then I want you to reverse it. So you go 12, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 12. Remember in the beginning I talked to you about hallucination. This is really a good time to allow your skills of hallucinating to kick in. Because it's, if you don't think you're doing, don't worry about think of doing it right. Just keep that image of the clock. And just notice if any of the numbers along the clock feel kind of rough or jaggedy. So again, checking out the quality, how smooth the movement is. Again, those knees and feet stay standing. Let's bring them a little bit more. I want you to bring them a little bit more in. There you go. There. And then kind of come back. There you go. Now, what if you continue from 3 o'clock to 4, 5, 6? So we're just doing like this, half of an arc all along the right side, which would mean that the left side is lifted pretty much the whole time. Bring that pubic bone forward. Arch it. Okay, you're not bringing it forward. There, and then take it back. So in the background, remember when I talked about you've got forward, in the foreground and background. In the background, you should notice that you also are tipping the pelvis between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So your pelvis is more towards 12 o'clock when you start at 12. But once you come past 3, that pubic bone starts to move forward, right? Because you're doing 3, 4, 5, 6. So now it's what we call you're coupling two directions together. Does that make sense? Did I lose anybody with that? And the other thing to really pay attention to with yourself, are there any numbers you want to skip over? And this will tell you a lot. So I know for me, I think it's 5. 5 o'clock is the place that I like wanna. I wanna take a shortcut between 3 and 4. I wanna do a line instead of really arcing. And then that tells me about myself, so that I
skip one.
Yeah, so it's really, have some curiosity about it and go slow enough with yourself. Like, can I really go to each of these numbers? Or where do I want to just take a shortcut? Just like driving, I'm going to take a shortcut. Okay, let it go and rest on your back. This is like one of the greatest lessons of all the lessons that serves everybody in all different situations, especially people that have any kind of lower back issues, is to create so much freedom in the pelvis and their spine and their hip joints. And this one, like, is so easy to remember. You can do this anywhere. For years, I used to do this in airports. So it was a real, when I used to travel.
You used to lay down on the airport floor and clock?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I used to teach, I taught in Germany and all over Europe, Chicago, New York, and so those long flights, or if I had layovers, yep, I hit the deck. And you can't believe how it made traveling such a difference. I just don't care, what anybody thinks or somebody walking by. So, I wouldn't do it like wide out in the middle of space, but, I'd find a place over, like close to the windows, out of the way. Kids love it. Kids would come over and like crawl all around me and they'd want to play with me and what's she doing? But the other thing that it would do for me that I discovered, and I don't know what the total linkage or connection is, but usually flying makes you really, really jet lagged, fatigued, and it would change that phenomenally. It's like on a cellular level, getting activation, like because things are so stagnant when you're up there for so long and just moving again and getting everything. So, yeah, I'd spend 15, 20, 25 minutes doing a lesson. I'd get up and then walk through the airport and feel great. It's like taking a mini nap or, it was like rejuvenating because movement creates cellular movement. Think about it, right? Okay, bend your knees again. Bring your feet to standing. And let's go back up to 12 o'clock, and let's see what it's like to go from 12 o'clock to 11, 10, and 9. So that would mean the left side, right, of the clock. So you're lifting the right. And remember, you start with the lower back pressing down, but by the time you get to 9 o'clock, you're starting to feel that pubic bone to tilt. Does that make sense? Right? Yes, no? Okay, so see what this part of, or another way of thinking of it is a pie. This quadrant of the pie is like. And reverse that side. So you go 12, 11, 10, 9, and then 9, 10, 11, 12.
Let this relax.
And then slowly start to add in to go past 9, down to 8, 7, 6. So that's when you really start to arch the belly. When you come to 6, you're fully like sitting on that tailbone. And then you go 6, 7, 8, 9, round this. Round, there you go. And then over and arc. And then round. And how is this side different? I mean, just for all of us, it's going to be really different. And there's nothing wrong with that. Or, so often people have a goal to make themselves balanced. And I would say now's the time to let go of that goal. Because it just isn't going to ever happen. And that was the other thing that Moshe really challenged some people on. He was real close with Alexander for the Alexander method, and because he was so much into this plumb line and having everything balanced, yet everybody comes into this world not balanced. And so Moshe was more interested in how you find, again, organization in your imbalance and functionality, not can you get balance, because you'll never get there. It just won't happen.
Because even if one side of your body's balanced, the other side's not going to be.
They're going to just be different. Like one of your big toes is a little bit bigger than the other side, and the pinky toe, and they're just, you do not have equal symmetry. So to look for that is kind of like insanity, right? It's something that you're never going to accomplish. So he realized that what he was more interested in is functionality. How do you function? And he also looked at posture as being any moment in between movements. So he didn't think of posture as this perfect way of sitting.
But more dynamic.
Completely dynamic. So the way you're on the floor right now is a posture. Sleeping on one side is a posture, right? Like, posture's just not this perfect, you know. But theatrical people are really drawn to Alexander because a lot working with the voice, and if you find this place of being posturally as close to perfect as possible, it opens airways and stuff like that. So it's interesting. Okay, how are you doing? So let's see if you can go back to 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And that should be getting really smooth now. What's that like? And how is the movement now of your head? How's that, Pam?
It's a little less tight.
Yeah. Because you're lying on it, rolling on it. That's okay. Okay, rest.
I had a clicking on this side, and now it's gone.
Great.
That, where my mind went when you started talking about how we're in balance, you know, you start to kind of learn about it and accept it and feel it. All horses are in balance as well.
Of course, everything's in balance. Is there a perfect flower out there that's every single petal is identical, right?
So it's going to be interesting to look at your horse and see how your horse is balanced compared to how you're balanced.
Yeah, and the more organized, I keep on using that word, the more functional and organized you are, your imbalances will not show up for your horse. And then their ability to deal with their imbalances will also show up differently. You'll actually teach them how to become more sophisticated with themselves. Okay, so now come up to actually like a sitting position, and the soles of your feet are going to be together. So this is for my friend over here. So you put the soles of your feet together, and you're going to lean on your hands behind you, and it's best to lean with your fingers forward. I know the tendency is the other way, but the reason why is,
oh my gosh,
if your fingers are forward, your elbows can bend. If you do it the other way, so everybody do it the other way, you lock out your elbows. And you'll see why that's not so good, because that becomes a constraint. So let's do fingers forward. And now let's just do 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, right? So 12 o'clock is going to come down back towards the lower back. That pubic bone zips up. And then 6 o'clock as you arch. And in this position, you really can exaggerate the thoracic spine. That's the mid part of your back. That's it. So you really bring your belly and your pubic bone forward, but feel how your chest comes forward. So you're creating a big arch now with your whole spine. So when you were on the floor, you weren't going to do that big an arch. That's it. And when you round, your chest softens and folds. Your chin comes down. And then you arch. That's it, Pam. Good, good, good. 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 And then come back and soften. Soften, soften, soften.
Soften, soften, soften.
You didn't know you could soften that much. Okay, and then let this come forward. Do you do a lot of skiing?
A fair amount of skiing.
Because you've got this shirt on?
No, that too.
The ski shirt, so that's it, there. That's it. Feel how those ribs can move. Okay, so everybody getting comfortable with 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock? Byron, how are you? Excellent. And for those of you that feel comfortable, you can even let your head start to come back a little bit. So that's it. If you let the chest come far enough forward, you'll feel safe. That's it. Notice what's happening with your shoulder blades. Okay, and then everybody but Yoshi here, let's have you take a rest. Lie on your back because I know it gets tired. So think of softening there, even more, there. Let that lower back round. Good. And now we're going to come and arch from here. Take your, there you go. That's it. Now feel in here. Soften. Let those ribs come back. Good. And come. Excellent. Okay. And everybody rest on your back. And eventually, as we do this more and more, you will get lighter and lighter on your hands, your wrists, okay? Because it's more your pelvis holding you up, okay? So if you need to take a break sooner than I give you, go ahead and then come back to the movement, okay? Come back up, soles of your feet together. Lean on your hands behind you. Okay, so this time let's go, let's say we're going to go back towards 12 o'clock, so we're rounded. We're going to come over, arcing to 3 o'clock, and then we're going to arc back. So that means your right knee comes closer to the floor, left side lifts up, that's it, and then you come back. And just keep doing that a few more times, and eventually there'll be less movement with the legs. You know, you feel more of the movement, again, the pelvis moving around, so that's great, but I want you to come the other way. Do the other side. Yeah, we're going over to 3 o'clock, there. So you're there. So there's more, the more movement, not in your legs, but it's in your pelvis. Your pelvis is like a bowl, you're tipping it. So come leaning back on your hands again. This is, you get real confused here. Okay, so just think pelvis. And now come around back, there, and then come over like this. And then see if you can go through 12 o'clock and go to the other side, the left side, up to 9. So we're just going to do like a back half arc, right? We'll do 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, the back side of the bowl. I like to use different images for your, that's it. Good. Very good. Okay, and rest on your back. Go ahead and rest. Get off your hands and straighten your legs and so go ahead and bring yourself up to the same sitting position, soles of your feet together, lean on your hands, and now let's go the other way. So we're going to tilt the pubic bone forward, right? We're going to come towards
six.
Sorry, I messed up the last time. I apologize. 6, right? So we're going to push the pubic bone forward to 6, and then we're going to arc over to 3 to the right side, and then come back. Is it to 6 or 12? 12.
We did 12 last time.
Okay, so we'll say 6. And then back over to 9. 3 and 9 don't get messed up with me.
Probably because all the ones I want to keep
I'm telling you, it's the clock thing. I finally changed it to
make me the clock instead of looking at the clock.
Yeah, you are the clock. I mean, I tried to give you a reference, and I don't know if that was useful or not. But you're getting the idea, right? Yeah. We eventually have the idea of a circle.
Yes.
Right? So a circle, a bowl, if you want to think of a bowl, and that, right, so you're doing the front part, the front arc. And I like to think of arcs because we do a lot of things in arcs, right? Were the ribs an arc? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of arcing that goes on. Okay, so you're still back here. So get the soles of your feet together. Knees out. There you go. Okay, lean back on your hands and just let this pelvis come forward. There. But arch back your ribs. There you go. That's what I want you to do. That's it. And now we'll go. There. Oh, this is huge for you. Boop. Now see if you can go into doing a full circle. Whether you go clockwise or counterclockwise, I don't care. But really pay attention in the circle. That the moment that you transition from the pubic bone being forward to pulled in, don't lose that. Don't just start making a circle. Okay? Does that make sense? It's very easy to lose that. So really feel there's a very specific moment, right? It's right where our parameters of 3 and 9 are, where the arcing happens or not, where the pubic bone comes forward or pulls back. So really feel that. That is the most critical thing to understand with this lesson. One of the most critical things. What's so important about it is it's in the transition that we need for transitioning all movements. And this is whether you're going to go from like bending over, let's say you're lifting a dish out of the dishwasher up to the counter. The same movement's happening. You're here and here. Same thing. So if you don't get that, you don't carry it through, you're not doing it in your daily life, which is most of us. Even more, Aaron, really like exaggerate it. Have you had kids yet, Aaron?
No.
So, okay, this is your opportunity. Just imagine you're going to be, and men too, Byron, this is your opportunity. It's like, oh, this is what his big belly would feel like. Because it really is. It's in the transition that is key for high functioning movement. Okay, rest on your back. Oh, rest. I mean, and it's, you know, as much as this is, it's fun, right? But it is fatiguing in the sense that two things are going on. Your level of awareness, right, is phenomenal right now. I'm asking you to be aware in a way that really nobody else asks you to do in a day. And that's tiring. So when I started this work in my 20s, my first year, I slept through over half of my training program. And we all were really concerned, not about me, but about all of us were like, because you'd fall asleep because your ability to be so attentive. Can you imagine doing this for like 7 hours every day for 5 weeks? Okay, yeah, grasp it. I mean, you know, it is.
Grasp it.
It's like, you know, you're just dipping yourself into this, like, this deep, you know, trench. And you would just, you know, we always would laugh, you know, because you'd hear people snoring in the room, like, who's asleep today? And I tell you, you would go home, and boy, would you sleep. You guys will sleep the best sleep you will have tonight, because your nervous system is processed a lot. And again, this is back to the kids. This is why kids would explore movement and take a nap. And then they're ready for another round of movement. And so that's what we do in the training program, just like being a baby again. Spend 6 to 7 hours on the floor. But then, you know, by year two, you it's like you train yourself to become more attentive. And it's very much like how you've trained yourself to be attentive on the horse, right? Right? In the beginning, think about it, right? There's so much to be thinking about. Really, it's huge. It's like your legs and your pelvis and the reins and the horses, right? I mean, it's phenomenal, right? But the more you do it, right, and as your learning curve improves, certain things get quiet, because right, and they become in the background. And then right now, most of you are probably at this level where there's just a couple things that are sticking out in the foreground, right? You're into refinement, right? But think, if you think back in the beginning, it's at a huge encompassing thing to get on this huge mammal. And not only you articulating movement, but to work with an animal. It's huge. I mean, I think it's incredible. So, right? Does that make sense? But, you know, you do. You refine it, and things get clearer. And then once something gets super clear, you don't pay so much attention to it. Okay, so come up once again to the soles of your feet together, and leaning on, actually this time we're going to lean on our forearms. So that means the part from your wrist to your elbows. Yep. And soles of your feet together. So see, we changed the position. So this puts you in a different place with your pelvis, knees open again. And now just go to 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And just feel what that's like. Feel what's happening again in the mid part of your spine, up through the shoulder blades. If you want to allow your head to hang back, if you feel safe to do that, that's it. And think of those ribs. So this is a good place to really pay attention to how the ribs move with your pelvis, or how maybe they don't move. That's it. Okay, let's take a rest. This is a hard position, right? Yeah?
Hard on the shoulders.
Yeah, it's real hard on the shoulders.
It's easy. I don't mean to laugh. I'm just, this whole, this part of the class reminds me of, there's that movie Couples Retreat that just came out, and it's totally just like their down-facing dog, child's pose, trying to get their libido up. I'm like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh my gosh, my pelvis is just like...
Well, there are those side benefits that will tell you a lot about your sex life, your personal life, absolutely. And, you know, actually, there's a lot of truth to that. I can't tell you how many people I've seen, and I can't say it's more for women or men. It's kind of across the board that have lower back issues because they're not free in their pelvis and how much it's affecting their sex life. It's huge, but of course nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, finally people talk to me about it when they've seen me long enough one-on-one. Can I talk to you about this? And then I teach them how to do this, and it's like their whole world changes. And it's a good thing. You know? So, yes, this there's more to this movement than just this and riding the horse. There's more happening out there. Yeah, too bad they don't have that in that movie. Well, we don't know if they do, right? Nobody's seen it. Did it just come out?
Yeah, it's the one with Vince Vaughn. Yes, Vince Vaughn. And
oh, God, he's so funny. Yeah, okay.
He's just like himself in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll have to see it. Okay, so...
What's the name of it?
Couples Retreat.
Couples Retreat. Okay, so come back up to on the hand position. Okay, let's come back to that. Soles of your feet together. Actually, yeah, let's do that. Okay, and let's do two circles clockwise and two or three circles counterclockwise. I want you to pay attention not just to the pelvis now, but also what's happening in your ribs, the rib cage. So see if, another way of saying it is that, can your ribs mimic what your pelvis is doing? And so you'll feel some of that, you know, that accordion side bending we did, right, in the first lesson. Oh, that's showing up. Doesn't that make it easier? Right? So, or another way to try to do it is don't let the ribs move at all and see what that's like. So let these guys there come over here.
It's kind of not possible to not let your ribs move.
Believe me, there's people out there that can master that. It's amazing. It is. It's more difficult to do that than to let them move. But there are people that have mastered it. There you go, Pam. You just soften here. Ooh, there you go. And come over. Okay, and then everybody lie on your back again and rest. And isn't the floor feeling so nice and friendly now, too? That's the other thing. Talk about an addiction. You get addicted to the floor, you know, because you spend all that time lying on the floor. You can't wait to lie on the floor again. I mean, many people think, how could I ever, like, sleep on the floor? And let me tell you, a year into the training program, it is a piece of cake. You can fall asleep effortlessly on a hard surface because you learn to let so much go that you just become right. Aren't you feeling more, so much more contact now and just kind of melting into the floor? So as
Margaret
said earlier, how are you doing, right, with the lower back at the beginning of the lesson?
Still a lot of pressure on my hips.
Like flat, but at the beginning it was like worse.
Yeah.
And the more that she's getting things to be moving and loosey-goosey, it's getting easier for her to lie like this. So that's good.
I'm already asleep here.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
Okay. Bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and now we're going to cross your right leg at the knee over your left. So I want the knees, you know, kind of like that lady sitting. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so in this position, okay, let's begin to make a clock or make a circle with your pelvis. So go up to 12, like flatten the lower back, and then whichever way, let's say if we go clockwise, there you go over to, I guess that would be 9, and then to 6, and then 3. So how do you do it with now the legs crossed? Pay attention to your breath and your breathing. And if you didn't change directions of the circle, go ahead. That would be like going counterclockwise, but some of you might have started that way, so just reverse the circle. Beautiful. Okay, and let that go and rest again. Okay, bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing, and this time cross the left leg over the right. I know you're, see you how smart you're getting. Such a short time. And then start to make a circle, and I'll just let you pick your choice. Just notice that for yourself, which way you feel like starting the circle. And it's also very interesting to notice with yourself, how do you initiate the movement? Is it from the right side or from the left side? Is it from the leg that's standing or the leg that's crossing? And then change the direction. And it's also interesting to notice if changing the direction, is it more challenging? And, you know, just again, that word of curiosity, it's kind of like, why? Is it about the pelvis, or is it something about your ribs? Or it could even be something about your jaw. It's always a place to check in is your jaw and see if you're relaxed or if you're clenching. Okay, and let's have you rested again. Do a couple more movements. So this time, bend your right knee so just the right foot is standing and keep the left leg long and begin to make a circle with your pelvis. And again, notice which direction you choose to go. No right or wrong, just to observe. And I would encourage you to think about the movement coming from the leg that's bent, that it's moving the pelvis, versus the leg that's long. But some of you might be doing it the other way, so you can certainly explore. That's another way to try it. And then change the direction. And what's kind of fun to pay attention to is the quality of the movement when you change the direction. So can you find the ability to reverse the movement without stopping or without holding your breath? You just feel this moment where you just go, okay, I'm just going to change gears and reverse it. Because that's what you ask of the horse, right? How much do you ask them to do that, huh? Right? Look, we're going over here, but we're going to go over here, you know? Right? If you're doing, I don't know, the letters and dressage and stuff. Nice. Okay, and rest it. So this time, I guess you'll bend your left knee, keep the right leg long. And again, whichever direction feels natural for you to start the circle, the movement of the pelvis, go ahead and notice how maybe it's similar on this side. So what is similar or what feels different? Nice job, Pam. I just want to see if you can open up here. There you go. Yeah, just a little bit. There, always keep a space here. There. See what that's like. Yeah, just. There, good. And then find again a nice moment to reverse the movement. And just notice with yourself how the quality of the movement has become so eloquent. You know, when we started this lesson, it was like kind of, you know, jerky and abrupt and kind of clunky. And now all of you have a quality about how you're moving now that's got so much elegance and grace. And it's a really awesome way to move, yeah? Because it feels really nice to move with that kind of quality. So you can imagine if you did everything with this kind of quality, most of us want, you know, people want as they, I don't know if I should say get older, but as we do get older, like arthritis is one of those things that crop up, right? That wouldn't show up. Okay, and rest. And now keeping your legs straight, prop yourself one more time up onto your forearms. So your legs stay long. And now make a circle with your pelvis. And just let the legs, so how do you, again, so what this movement does, you really, it's another way of taking the legs out of the movement. So feel the arcing back and then really allowing that pubic bone to come forward. And how much can you just allow the legs to let go? That there's just very little tension or work happening. That's it, Pam, in the legs. That you just really do everything that, see if you can arc it more, bigger forward, bigger, bigger, bigger. I know you can do more. That's it. So literally think of it like you're going to sit on your tailbone. You're sitting on the very end. Nothing else can touch in that forward position. There you go. And then there, and then round back. And then you lift. There you go. So you're really good at that position. And as much as you go there, I'm asking you to come all the way on the tailbone. More, 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 more. Sit on the tip. Okay, let the jaw relax. Breathe. Oh, head can hang back. Whew. Are you doing okay?
I was getting lightheaded.
Oh, okay. That probably means you're holding. Okay, let it go. Rest. So in a moment, we'll come back to the very first movement. And what you'll notice is it's going to be so incredibly easy and light and effortless. So what we did is all these different variations, right? So very much like the conversation that we had in the beginning of the day about children, right? And all the little variations that they do in their learning. So that's why Moshe put together these lessons with so many different variations. And again, if you reflect it back to thinking about your horse riding, you first learn, you learn certain ways, certain important ingredients, and then you learn variations, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So you expand your repertoire, and then that leads you to become a better rider, right? Does that make sense? Or learning an instrument. It's the same thing. You learn the basics and then you learn how to broaden out and you learn, like I played the piano, so you learn that there's keys, notes, chords, flats, sharps, right? And then you can start, then you get to a point where you can actually break sometimes some of the rules, right, that you learned in the very beginning. And that's really this process of learning. Okay, so bring yourselves to your legs standing. That's how we started. Feet standing on your back still. Start with that, yeah. And so just standing, not the soles of the feet out. And just begin to go to 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. I mean, if anything you remember, just this one movement is just heavenly if you do travel, right? This is easy to remember. And there's no lifting, right? It's a smooth, effortless movement that you're rocking along the spine, from the lumbar part of your spine, the lower back and the thoracic, all the way down to the tailbone. And it should just really feel, again, the quality and the clarity very nice. And now let's have you begin to make a circle. Remember, the knees stay directed towards the ceiling. Just feel like how that circle is now and the relationship of the ribs and the head, the involvement. And is your head starting to make a circle? Oh. And then can you find a moment for yourself where you decide to reverse the circle? You go the other way. Again, no tilting of the legs. The legs are quiet. Did I lose you, Pam? Are you with me?
Or it's, yeah, the wrong way.
I could tell I lost you for a second. That's okay. Good. Okay, rest your legs. We'll just do one more movement. Your hips and pelvis will never be the same. So can you think for a moment as you're resting how this will be useful for when you're on the horse? And how for you to start to find your seat, find the sit bones, feel where the backside of your pelvis is, right? Because you've like now felt a lot of your pelvis. And then how you're feeling your ribs and the carriage of your head. Is that starting to piece together? Make sense? Okay, so let's come up one more time. So you're on the hands behind you, soles of your feet, and let's just see how that movement is for you. So go ahead and start to make a circle and go in whatever direction you'd like, and really pay attention again to the ribs and how soft they are with the pelvis, your head and your neck. Just allow the movement to be really, really elegant, the quality, your breath and your breathing. And then for yourself, when you feel ready to change directions at any time. So it's up to you. Where do you want to reverse it? Again, this alone you can play with for a long time, just reversibility and changing different places to reverse the movement. And of course, that means when you reverse the pelvis, right, you have to reverse the movement in the ribs and the shoulders and the head, and so there's more to it. So that's it. That's it. You bring this a little bit more back and then forward, even there. So you come off those arms. There you go. Good. Okay, and rest on your back. And so as you're resting now, just take a moment to observe how you're lying on your back now. If you can recall how you noticed your pelvis in the beginning, if one side felt like heavier or lighter, and just, so we talked about, yes, you won't have total symmetry, but things are certainly more like each other now, yes? Right? So you can move in that direction where they get fairly close, but they're never going to be exactly the same. That was like a huge eye-opener for me, because after my accident in physical therapy, they just wanted me to always have my left leg be like my right leg. And it was just a constant battle. And when I let that go, and it was like, oh, this is never going to happen. How do I just learn how my left leg can be functional? Huh. So it was like, you know, pounding my head into the wall. That was like a really huge mental shift and a big freedom. So notice the pelvis, notice the legs. If you remember how the space was behind your legs, what that's like now, how your shoulders are resting on the floor. And again, if you just feel as if you're a lot more acquainted with the floor and your ability to lie here on your back and being comfortable. And then taking your time, go ahead and roll to one of your sides and bring yourself up to a sitting position. And if you are a little lightheaded, certainly take your time before you come to standing. And so eventually bring yourself up to standing, and again at your own pace and time. And once you're up to standing, just feel standing. Just really feel now after this lesson of what we did in the pelvis, the hip joints, How do you feel now? That sense of groundedness? I mean, you're like really down in your feet now.
Like somebody's like pulling my heels down.
Down? Yeah. So just in how much lighter you are in your shoulders, your back. And just notice, too, what the contact is like with your feet. I know we didn't check this out in the beginning, but if you sense that you're more on both feet, good. And then go ahead and walk around. Just feel walking and notice your hip joints, how your pelvis feels, how your spine feels. Good. Okay, and then if you want to just come back to, for a moment, your chairs, and I'd like you to, I know we kind of moved them around, find, I think we still have them all here, and pull them a little bit against from the wall and sit to the edge of your chair, and you're welcome. Okay, yes, I know, and we, since we started, I kind of started a little bit behind, I went over. Thank you. So just notice how sitting is for you now. Bring your awareness and your attention back to the sit bones. Sense your posture, your spine. I guess when we say our posture is how we're organizing the upper body over the pelvis. How's that feel now? And now let's just go back to in sitting, you can do the 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, right? So sit closer to the edge. Yeah, because if you're back, you don't have, if you're sitting back, you. So just explore 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And yeah, if you want to make a circle now in sitting, what is it like to make a circle? What happens in your ribs, your chest? That's it. And then you can even go back to one of those earlier movements. Remember when we rocked to one side and kept the other side up and moved it forward and back? That's like going to just feel like loosey-goosey, right? Isn't that just like, I mean, it's just, it's lubricated, right? It says, that's, sometimes language is hard to explain, that luscious feeling of something moving so fluidly. It's as if it is liquidy. You know, you've lost any muscular tension or, good. And if you just want to even go back to the movement of lifting one sit bone and the other, and rocking back and forth, and what that feels like. Good, and then just bring yourself to center. And sit back and rest. Okay.